Good morning. Happy Father's Day as well. You know, before when we were asked to say hi to a father, and I turned around and had to look back at least, you know, four or five rows from the front to find a father. But yes, it's a good day today. Happy Father's Day. And, you know, this week when I was driving the car and I was listening on the radio, I guess this was an advertisement from Sears or something like that. You know, they were saying, hey, you know, for this weekend coming up, you know, for Father's Day, you know, get your dad that, you know, upgraded toolbox that he always wanted. Or maybe that bigger lawnmower with more horsepower, you know, that he has his eyes on. And maybe that brand new power tool that he has always talked about. And I was thinking, you know, that's not me. You know, I mean, why would I want those things? Because I don't want more things to do, you see. You know, so that advertisement didn't really come across well with me, but it does highlight the fact that, you know, us dads, we do have a lot on our plates. It is a lot of a challenge, and we accept that. We see that as part of what God has given us and part of our calling and our role as well. So as I begin to speak with you, especially to dads today, let me begin with a word of prayer. Can you just bow your head with me? As I look to God, Father, Lord, I acknowledge, Lord, before you that all that I know of fatherhood, Lord, is really from your word and from your spirit and what you have provided. Lord, there's no other source for me as a father of my own children. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would give me the right words, the right attitude, the right grace, Lord, to present this message, Lord, as I attempt to call out the dads that are here, the dads that know your name, the dads that have your gift of the Holy Spirit living inside them. Lord, help me to call them out, to call myself out, so that we could become the men that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let me start off this morning by getting a little personal. Okay, can I do that? Yeah, a little personal. You know, during my sophomore year in high school, my stepfather at the time, he was dying of cancer. I remember as a freshman going into high school that, you know, news about his condition started. And so right about sophomore year, he had battled for about 2 years already. And our family together, we kind of battled it with him, coping with this his condition for 2 years or so. And towards the last few months, I recall that it was so bad that we had to put a bell, you know. We had to put a bell next to him, you know, next to his bed. And because he had gotten so weak already that, you know, his voice wasn't even strong enough to call for help or to ask for something, you know. It was through all the different surgeries that he had that his body was so deteriorated that he can't get himself up in the morning or if he wanted to take a nap to put himself down. So my mother and I, we kind of knew that, you know, the time was kind of near. We're getting close here. And so as a teen, you know, I was really not comfortable with this whole thing. I didn't know how to process that. I wasn't comfortable being in the room there because it was the essence of death that was in that room. You know, as a 14-year-old, I didn't know how to cope with that. And I don't know if it would have made a difference or not, whether he was my biological father or not. I really don't know. I can't say for sure. But certainly at the very end, it was not very pleasant. And so this is what I heard throughout the day. Whether I was doing my homework or watching TV, I would hear this. You know, whenever the newspaper fell off his bed and he couldn't get it himself. And I would hear that again if, let's just say, he needed something to drink. If the TV needed to be turned off. If he needed to be changed. And it was like that for a couple weeks until he finally passed away. And so those last moments with him stayed with me for a long time, to the point that I'm 43 now, I'm talking about it with you. I remember how you looked like. I remember how the room looked like. I remember how it smelled. I remember, you know, how he looked at me. I remember the expressions on his face. I remember what he said. I remember all those things. Now, in the Bible, King David wanted to prepare things before he died. And so during those moments, he didn't know exactly how much time he had left, but he gathered, you know, his son, and he said, "Son, let me talk to you. Solomon, would you come here? I want to talk to you." And it was more than just a casual conversation. It was a moment where a father is speaking right into the soul of his child. And in this case, this was not just an ordinary child. This was obviously the next king over Israel. And I'm sure that Solomon also remembered what was said to him and the expression that was on David's face. And so today, this morning, on Father's Day, I want to, my message for you, particularly for the dads here, the dads that are Christian dads. You know God, you know God's name, and you know about his spirit living inside of you. I want you to know that, you know, God has given you a voice. He has given you authority, whether you realize it or not, to speak into the soul of your child. And I don't think anybody else has that privilege. They may come close to that. But God has given you a special place and a special voice in their lives. You know, when the kids were young and little, you know, they needed me to carry the diapers around. You know, I carried them around sometimes when their little legs got tired. I carried a stroller to every restaurant. I carried that high chair like it was their throne. I put it down there, and I carried them down. And I'm thinking, am I like worshiping them? I'm putting them in the high chair, and now back away like this. You know, I mean, I did a lot of things for them because physically, they needed me all the time, every day, every moment. But then as they get older, as some of your older dads know, that they need you physically less, but perhaps they need you emotionally more. And so basically, they need me as their father. They need you as their father in leadership, in preparing them for the life that's ahead. You know, there's a movie that was shown here about 2 weeks ago titled Courageous. We had kind of advertised that for a while. And some of the dads were here watching that and some of the kids as well. And so throughout the movie, there was a phrase that were mentioned a lot. And the phrase went like this: a good enough dad. Or a good enough father. You see, there are dads that see fatherhood as merely just providing food on the table. They see fatherhood as, you know, well, stay faithful to mom and don't get drunk and don't gamble. That if they're able to do that, then my goodness, then they consider that as, you know what, that's good enough. That's good enough dad. And they don't know any better because that's what there was modeled at home. That's what they grew up watching themselves. And so the movie points out that dads should not settle for just being a good enough dad. You see, with many other things, you know, men pursue excellence. With the careers, we do that. With athletic endeavors, we do that, right? But somehow, when it comes to fatherhood, I wonder why is it that there's a phrase out there that says, you know, a good enough dad is good enough. You know, I find that's interesting because it's nothing new. Because in the very beginning of the Bible, we find the first dad, Adam. You know, God put him in the Garden of Eden. He's given this marriage and later on a family and so on and so forth. And we find that in the scriptures that Adam did quite well with the job that God has given him in terms of taking care of Garden of Eden. And so he excelled in all the different things that he did that was part of his job description. But then when it comes to leadership inside his own household, he was surprisingly passive. You know, Proverbs 22:6 tells us, you know, train a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not turn from it. You know, the Hebrew word train, it literally means to develop a structure, as in one of those plants that climb, the flowers that climb, and you provide a structure so that it could fully grow and reach its potential. It's like if you're growing tomato plants. I don't know if you've tried it yourself, but if you want to grow tomato plants, you know, it's not just the water and the fertilizer, but they need a structure. Otherwise, tomatoes will start getting big and they get heavy and they sag to the ground and then the insects will get to them. You see, it will never reach its full potential. It won't die, but it won't thrive either. And every child needs structure. And this means more than preparing for their SATs or academically. I mean, as Asians, you know, you and I, we are pretty good with that already. All right, we are very intentional with our education. It's part of our ethnic culture. We're used to that. And training your child also could mean providing a structure for them socially to develop. So early on, maybe take them to those mommy and me play dates or setting up play dates. We bring them to school. You know, we go through all the social norms at home. We tell them, you know, don't burp too loud. We tell them, you know, say thank you. We tell them all those other things that I'm not going to repeat right now. But I think where we are weak at is when it comes to the realm of spirituality. That in general, we tend to be very passive about our spiritual life. And we say things like, you know, when they grow up, they'll find God. They'll be all right. They'll find their way to God. Or we come across thinking, you know, I took him or her to the best church I could find with the best youth program. Or I raised them up in a safe church environment surrounded by Christians. Isn't that good enough? You see, they need leadership in all the categories of life. And they need it coming from the right source. And this is where dads come in. This is where dads shine. You see, they have a need for it, and you are the one to give it. And if you don't, then someone else will speak into the soul. Someone else will shape who they are on the inside. As a Christian father, if you are passive about your role that God has given you, then the world's media will certainly take your place. You know, on the average, a teen spends more than 72 hours a week consuming media. And that was really a research that was done 6 years ago. I'm sure it's even more so right now with everything that's mobile, you know, the tablets, the smartphones, and all the mobile devices that are out there. And as much as the media dominates their time, I still believe it or not, I believe that there's still a unique voice that God has given fathers to speak right into the souls of their child. And if you don't believe me, consider all the secular research that's been done, which pretty much universally confirms this, that kids growing up without fathers statistically struggle with more in life, more difficulties ahead. That tend to drop out of high school more often, to be sexually active earlier in life, to abuse drugs more often, a higher chance of ending up in prison, more likely to struggle with emotional issues or behavioral problems as they go into adulthood. So from top to bottom, God has given fathers a voice into their lives, and then when that voice is absent, then the whole thing pretty much breaks down, it seems like. And when there are issues of abuse coming from the father, then that's even worse. You know, before God can do big things to change humanity, this relationship between a father and a child has to be looked at. And I find it very interesting that the very last thing that God had said in the Old Testament was concerning this relationship between a father and a child. that before there are the 400 years of silence before Christ, before this big, huge duration of time where God doesn't say anything, he said this through the prophet Malachi. And it goes like this. This is the last thing that God says in the Old Testament. He says, he will turn the hearts of the father to their children and the hearts of the children to the father, or else I'll come and strike the land with a curse. And then we open up to the New Testament, where Jesus comes in. And it's really by no coincidence that he comes as the Son of God to do the work of the Father. And so the plan of redemption, when we look at this, we see that it's based on the harmony between the Father and the Son. And he demonstrates this when he got baptized. The scripture tells us that heavens broke open, and the people heard this voice coming from heaven, I suppose. A voice that says, you know, this is my Son, whom I love, and in him I'm well pleased. You see, God the Father was speaking into the soul of his own Son, in Jesus. And so on Father's Day, I want you to know, with no uncertainty, that you as a dad are given this privilege and responsibility to speak right into the soul of your child. Just like we find with Jacob in the Old Testament, when he got old, he called all his sons together. He called a family meeting next to his bed, I suppose, so that he can speak directly into their souls. And some of them, he encouraged them. Some of them, he spoke to them like, you got a bright future. And some of them, he told them, little son, you need to change. Your life is not heading the right direction. Listen to me, son. So how do fathers here in this room, how do we speak into their souls, into the souls of the children that God has entrusted us with? I want to turn back to the scripture reading this morning in 1 Chronicles 22. And I think in this dialogue that David has with Solomon, I think we can find a few tips here in terms of how can we speak to the souls of our children. The first one we see, and it's also in your bulletin as well, first one is by sharing your spiritual passions with them. All right, David here in this passage, he started this building project to honor the Lord. And he already started ordering all the raw materials. He ordered from neighboring countries to gather all that was needed for this construction. And this building that he had in his mind is supposed to be this over-the-top building at the time. The design of it was supposed to be so grandiose that it blows everything away. And verse 5, it says that David, this is how he expressed it. He says, you know, it should be of great magnificence, of fame, and of splendor. In other words, he wanted this building, he wanted this temple of the Lord to be greater than the Taj Mahal, greater than Trump Plaza, you know, greater than something that even Las Vegas doesn't have, all right? Something that over the top. That nowhere in the world will people find something as beautiful as this temple of the Lord. And that was exactly what was in David's heart. And the motivation behind the building project was really not about himself. It's not about building his career. He's towards the end of his life anyway. And it's not about making a legacy for himself. You see, for David, it was truly all about God's honor. That's what drove him. And so he took his son, and he looked him into the eyes and says, my son, this is what is in my heart. You know, can you do that too? The dads that's in this room. Explain to them, you know, why you go to church. Explain to them why we are here on this planet. Explain to them why you love God. That how does believing in Jesus make a difference in your life? To speak to them deeply about spiritual matters, regardless of what age they are. It's not just when they're little. It could be as adults as well, because you are always going to be their dad. You know, Kyle Alderman is the author of a book that I read recently called Not a Fan. It's a book on discipleship, and he certainly is an adult. He wrote the book. He's a very accomplished adult, and you know, in the table of contents before that, you have a few pages where usually in a book you will find that this book is written on behalf of or is dedicated to so and so. And so, in his book, it reads, it has these words: "To Dad, following you taught me to follow Jesus." And David says to Solomon in verse 8 that this word of the Lord came to me. That part of sharing your personal, your spiritual passions with your child is to tell your child what God has told you. And I'm not talking about general revelation, you know, what you learned in some sermon somewhere. I'm talking about specific revelation. Because they can learn general revelation, general things about the Bible through you, but also through your Sunday school teacher, their other teachers involved. And as they grow up, they can learn about God through their maybe college fellowship, maybe some other pastor of the church that they go to. They can learn all those things. But what is precious to them will be something that is from Christ given to them specifically from the dad. It's kind of like passing on the inheritance to them in a spiritual sense. That it would be great if you can tell your son or your daughter about a particular tough decision that you had to make, you know, back then in the past where you know, it was tough and this is why we made the decision, you know, because the word of the Lord came to me. Or to say to them, son, we didn't know what city to live in. I don't know what job to take or what career to take, but the word of the Lord came to me. Or you could tell them, look, we were struggling at that time in our family with health problems. You know, we didn't know what to do. We were confused until the word of the Lord came to me. And even if you didn't have the answers, that we speak to them and we didn't have the right answers or direction, but we could at least say to them, you know what? My logic says this, my research says this, but I'm still waiting on the word of the Lord so I can move forward. And that speaks volumes to them growing up. They will hear and they will even see in some cases the spiritual passion that's coming from your heart. So fathers this morning, may I speak to you this morning directly? They need that from you. Let's give it to them. Another way we can speak into the soul of our children is by sharing our failures. You look at verse 8 with me. David explains to his son, you know, why God doesn't want him to finish this building project himself, right? Interesting question, right? You're all into it. Why not just finish it? Well, God basically doesn't want a man of war to build this temple of peace, basically. Right, and so you can imagine that young Solomon's listening to his dad, and all the spiritual passions coming from David. You know, perhaps he have heard that before. This is not the first time, but once David shares, once David, his father, not the king, but David, his father, shares about his own shortcomings in life, his own failures, then his ears really perk up. You see, not too often as Asians do we have fathers that share about their failures. Maybe it might come towards the end of life, maybe, but really not too often throughout life. I guess maybe it's a cultural thing. You know, to admit failure is a sign of weakness, or to admit failure it has to do with shame. I'm not really too sure. But if you are really serious about speaking into the soul of your child, then mention about your failures as well as your spiritual passions. That when you are open in speaking about your failures to them, it will demonstrate courage and humility. And they will see that. And they will connect with you better because they see vulnerability, They see you as a person that is more than just always the person that tells them what to do. They will see you as not the person that is always right, but you're real. You're real because you are sharing with them your mistakes and your failures, and they could connect with that. Lastly, this is how you can speak into the soul of your child, by sharing God's vision for them. In verse 10, we find that David tells his son that, you know, God has a vision for your life. It's not just about what God has done in my life. God's going to do something in your life too. And he will begin to give you peace so that you could complete this project. And you will be responsible for this great, never been done before, temple for the Lord. That's your future, son. And part of our responsibility to our kids is to explain to them their purpose in life. You know, we should be involved in the conversations about their possible life calling. We are to help them figure out what God might be doing in their lives. They ought to get a general direction from us, okay, over, you know, what major to pick, what school perhaps, what careers fit them, what type of person that they might want to marry. All right, I mean, ultimately, it is their choice. Don't get me wrong here. But we get to shape their thinking. You know, in a healthy parent-to-child relationship, why wouldn't the son and daughter want parental feedback? After all, you know, I mean, you know, they know how you think. They know your tendencies better than anybody else on this planet. Now, not only does David point him out in terms of the general direction for Solomon's life, we find that he affirms him verbally. He tells him what God has told him. And so God says to Solomon through David that he is God's son and God will be his father. I mean, when you look at very carefully with me at verse 10, because we see the same thing what Jesus heard in the New Testament, and this is what Solomon is hearing. David is saying, like, you know what, Solomon, you're my son, yes. I'm your earthly father, yes. But there is a father, a greater father. He is your father, and you are his son. You know, as a father, I personally find that to be perhaps one of the greatest promises that I find in the Bible. Where, you know, from the heavenly dad to an earthly dad, that God is calling my kids his kids. I mean, what greater assurance can I have as a concerned father, watching them grow up and all that? What a perspective to have in life. It's like having an earthly dad who's godly hands off his son or hands off his daughter to this real dad in heaven. That we're here to kind of develop their understanding of this greater father that's out there. That the more we're able to do that, then the easier it is for them to understand the love of the Father and how the Father works. And you can raise them up to a certain point, and then the Father in heaven takes over. What a beautiful thing. What a challenge to my faith and to your faith. That from that point forward, your son and your daughter is their own person now, and they will process and make their own decisions, and God will love them even more then you can love them. Imagine that. That God, their father, has greater resources than you, and that his presence will be with them 24/7, every single moment, even though you cannot be there at the same way. And so David, he provides this verbal affirmation to his son, and he tells him at the very end here in our passage, he says, son, you know, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. As a father, he is releasing him into this world, into life as an adult, with confidence and without fear of failure. I mean, isn't that what we all want? You know, to send off our adult children into a world with the assurances that the Heavenly Father has backed them up, and so they can move forward with the transformation of the gospel without fear. And that would really translate into how they handle stress in life in the future, how they relate to their coworkers, how they pursue their calling, their own calling in life. Let me just close with this. There's one time when I heard the bell. I think I was in my room, finishing my homework. One of those rare times I was doing my homework. And I heard, like, from his room to my room. And so I put my pen down, and I walked over there as usual. And I went over there, and I noticed, you know, the cup had water in it. The TV wasn't on. And a newspaper did not fall off the bed. It was in his arm. And so he told me to sit down. And so I sat down, and he basically said, with the strength that he had, and he was Cantonese, his English wasn't very good, he says, "Nei, guai zai." And it means, you know, you're a good son. And that's all he said. But I remember that very clearly to this day. You see, those are the words from, yes, I realized at the time, not my real father or my biological father, but from my stepfather. And those words meant a lot to me, you see. I could only imagine how much more powerful words from a godly father would sound like. I can only imagine what the words from a father who has raised you up from day one, loved you when you were less than lovable, who is there with you, and then at their moments at their deathbed to tell you that you're a good son. And the reason I share you this story is because, you know, you don't have to wait for those moments as dads. You don't have to wait for the hospital bed or wherever you're going to be and call your sons and your daughters over. You can do that right now, regardless of their age. You can do that right now because God has given you the authority and the privilege to speak deep into their lives, deeper than you and I can ever imagine. So they need it. Give it to them. Okay, dads? Give it to them. Father, Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, that you are the ultimate dad. That certainly on Father's Day, we want to praise you. We want to honor you. You're the dad of dads. And so, Father, Lord, as your word coming from our heavenly dad is given to us, Lord, give us the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind so that we can speak into our children's lives, whether they're adult, whether they're teenagers, whether they're just starting school. Lord, give us the strength to do that we may fulfill the purpose that you have set for us. Lord, the potential is so great, that even when we get a glimpse of that, it reminds us of how powerful that voice can be. Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, for your empowerment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.